Question number two is this. Should we assemble for worship on the Sabbath day? Should we assemble for worship on the Sabbath day? You say, well, where does that question come from? Well, there are some religious folks today who believe that we should worship on the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day of the week, and that would be Saturday. And without being disparaging of anyone, the name of some people who practice that, first of all, there are the Seventh-day Adventist group. They practice Sabbath day worship. They assemble on Saturday instead of Sunday to worship. We also have various different kinds of Jewish people who assemble on Saturday to worship as well. And so I thought, well, let's see what the Bible has to say about assembling to worship on the Sabbath day. Now, I'm not talking about, I want to be clear what I'm talking about and what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about worshiping on Saturday. You can worship on Saturday. You can pray. You can sing praises to God. You can study the Bible. Those are aspects of worship. And you can perform those things on Saturday. That's fine. What I'm talking about is, should we assemble for worship on Saturday as if we were conducting a Sunday morning worship or something like that, like we're familiar with? Should we do that on Saturday or on the Sabbath day? And does the Bible say anything about assembling to worship on the Sabbath day? Well, let's go way back, you know, to the Ten Commandments, because one of the Ten Commandments is honor and respect for the Sabbath day. And that is found in Exodus chapter 20, it's Exodus chapter 20. Anyway, it's the fourth commandment after the first three and before the fifth one. And the fourth commandment is the command for the Sabbath day. And it says this, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now I want you to note what it specifically says in that commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then it goes into a prohibition of work on the Sabbath day. It doesn't say anything about assembling to worship in that command. Now you say, well, where does that come from then? If it doesn't say anything about assembling to worship in the command to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and that it's about not working on the Sabbath day, where does that idea come from? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But it was not, in its original intent, a general call to assembly for worship. It was not intended to gather all the Israelites together on the seventh day for them to worship together. That was not the intention of that commandment originally. The original intention of the commandment was to prevent people from working on that day, because that's the day the Lord rested from creating all of his works. And so that day was supposed to be a day of rest. And we can read through the stories in the Old Testament, people who tried to work on the Sabbath day and they were told not to do it. And one of them, who evidently didn't respect the command at all, was put to death because he wouldn't respect the command that God gave. But nevertheless, it's not a general command for assembly. Now, there were some worship activities that were conducted on the Sabbath day by the priests. In fact, in Leviticus 24, 5 through 9, and Numbers 28, 9 through 10, the priests were commanded to offer sacrifices and to bake the showbread. And they were to bake the showbread on the Sabbath day. And so the priests had some work that they had to do on the Sabbath day, and God required them to do it. But there was not a general command to people to assemble while they did that. In Ezekiel 46 and verse 1, Ezekiel is prophesying to the children of Israel in captivity, and he's talking about how things are going to be when they get back from captivity and how they should conduct themselves in the temple when it's rebuilt. And God, through Ezekiel there, commands that the eastern gates to the temple be opened on the Sabbath days and on the days of the new moon, so that people could come in and watch while the priests offered the burnt offerings on the Sabbath day and on the day of the new moon. And those 2 days, the Sabbath day and the day of the new moon, were days on which the law commanded the priests to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. All right? Now, the people could come in and watch those things if they wanted to, but they were not commanded to do that. They were not commanded to assemble for those burnt offerings on either the Sabbath day or the day of the new moon. You say, well, why is that important that that passage comes into play? Because those who want us to worship on the Sabbath day get part of their argument from the Old Testament. First of all, that God told people to honor the Sabbath day. But then secondly, from a passage in Isaiah chapter 66 in verse 11, I believe it is, where God says that there's going to be an honoring of the Sabbath day. From week to week, they're going to come before me to worship me. And we'll look at that in a moment. But that's part of the argument. But Isaiah also talks not only about the Sabbath day, but the day of the new moon as well. All right. So if you're going to worship on the Sabbath day, based upon that passage in Isaiah, you're going to have to worship on the day of the new moon also. All right. That's one of the caveats to that particular thing. But we'll get to that in a minute. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself on the answer to this question. But never was there a general assembly commanded. Now, there were other general assemblies commanded. They were commanded to assemble on the day of Pentecost, the Day of Atonement, and several other feast days that they were commanded to assemble and worship before the Lord. But never were they commanded to assemble on weekly on the Sabbath day. So how did they start to do that? How did they start to begin to worship on the Sabbath day? And you may ask, well, what about Jews today? They worship on the Sabbath day, right? On Saturday. Yes, they do. How did they begin to do that? Well, synagogue worship is what they practice. They practice worshiping in a synagogue. And synagogues were established. And by the way, the word synagogue just means place of assembly. That's all it means. And it's from a Greek word that means to come together, basically. And the synagogue was the place that they began worshiping. And the oldest archaeological evidence of a synagogue is in the 3rd century B.C., all right? So about 300 years before Christ, somewhere around there, they began worshiping in synagogues. And that was a special building that they built where Jews could gather on the Sabbath day to read the law and to worship if that's what they wanted to do. And so that's when the first synagogue was, the archaeological evidence we have of the first synagogue is 300 BC or so. And so that was long after the book of Malachi was written, somewhere around 400 BC. And it wasn't in the Old Testament at all. There's no mention of synagogues in the Bible in the Old Testament. You don't read of them until you get to the New Testament. And they're used quite frequently in the New Testament, in fact. But God never appointed this kind of worship under the law of Moses. But I will say this, that God seems to have approved of it. And it may have been that even though the first archaeological evidence of the synagogue was 300 BC, it may have been that they had established the practice prior to that time, even hundreds of years before that to some degree. And there is this passage in Malachi 3 and verse 16 that seems to approve of the same types of circumstances that were going on with the assemblies of the synagogue. And let me just take a look at that real quick. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. And that says, Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. And I know that that doesn't specifically say, you know, like in a command, assemble together on Saturday to worship. It doesn't say that. But it says that some people were gathering together. They were doing it to speak to one another about the Word of God, and God approved of that. He said, that's a good thing. It's a good thing when people gather together and talk about the Word of God. That's not a problem. He liked that. And so there's nothing wrong with assembling to study the Word of God on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all the days of the week for that matter. Nothing wrong with that at all. So, but there's no command in the Bible that says you must do it. Well, when we get to the New Testament, we see that there's synagogue worship going on all over the place. Jesus worshiped in a synagogue, you know, and so did all the apostles, and so did the apostle Paul, and many others. They took advantage of the opportunities that the synagogue had to study the Word of God and to learn more about it. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23 talks about Jesus teaching the gospel in the synagogues where he was. Paul assembled with the Jews to teach in the synagogues, Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. And both Jesus and Paul were Jews. And that's important to understand that this is a Jewish practice. They were Jews. And Jews met with Jews on the Sabbath day, Saturday, to discuss the scriptures and to pray. And this was a Jewish custom. And there was nothing wrong with the custom. God's command for the Sabbath day, though, was for them to rest, for them to rest on the Sabbath day. That's what the command was originally given for. It said nothing about assembling on the Sabbath day. And so the command to honor the Sabbath was given to Moses and the children of Israel, and so therefore, by extension, Israelites or Jewish people only. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 says this, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive." And that covenant was for a particular time, and then it was supposed to go away. You say, well, how do you know it's supposed to go away? Because God said it was going to go away in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. Where he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers," listen to this, "when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." Well, what covenant was it that he made with them when he took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt? What was it? It was the Ten Commandments, right? That was the covenant. It was. And so this is going to be a new covenant, a different. It's not going to be that covenant anymore. It's going to be a different one. And then what's going to happen? He says, "But this is the covenant that I will make with them, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And so God says it will not be according to the covenant he made in that time, but it's going to be a new covenant. What is that covenant? It's the covenant of Jesus Christ that we have presented to us today in the New Testament. And this covenant neither commands nor demands assembly for worship on the Sabbath day. You're not going to find any commands there to assemble on the Sabbath day and worship the Lord. And when Christians formed churches in the New Testament, they assembled on the first day of the week, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And they did so for a particular purpose, and that was to partake of the Lord's Supper and to remember the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so that's what they did. Now, let's take one look then at Isaiah 66, because I want to address that particular scripture as well. Isaiah 66, and I believe it's verse 11, because some people look at that and they say, oh, well, this passage talks about how that we're supposed to assemble, you know, to worship on the Sabbath day. Well, let's take a look at it. Isaiah chapter 66, and that's not the right verse. All right. Well, I must have gotten that lost in my mind then. Anyway, but let me just discuss it briefly. The verse basically says something to this effect. Oh, here it is. It's verse 23. I don't know why I thought it was verse 11. I got the right chapter. Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23. Listen to what it says. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. All right. So that's pretty clear. From one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Is that talking about worshiping every seventh day, every Sabbath day, every Saturday, if you will? I don't believe it is, because it's also inclusive of the new moon here. And you say, well, what was the significance of the new moon and the Sabbath day? What was the significance of that? That was the day in which they offered these burnt offerings to the Lord for the sins of the people. And so what is being said here, I believe, in this passage is acknowledgement of the greatness of God for, you know, in from every nation on the face of the earth on a monthly and weekly basis, more or less. And the word Sabbath, it can mean Saturday, but it can also mean 1 week, and it can mean the day, it can mean rest, because the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word rest. And so the idea here is that you have regular worship that's taking place in this time that's being discussed. And it does talk about the new heavens and the new earth there in verse 22, which is not yet. And so this may very well be something that's yet in the future for God's people and not being discussed now. But the bottom line is that this verse, Isaiah 66 and verse 23, does not command worship on the Sabbath day, every seventh day or every Saturday, if you will. It's talking about something else. All right, so that's those are the questions and answers for tonight. I hope you had your Bible out and you enjoyed studying those things. I enjoyed looking at them this week, and I appreciate you submitting those questions. And if you have any more questions that you'd like to submit, please feel free to do that and use that box that's out back there. And I'll study the answers to the questions. I'll present the answers in the best way that I know how. And if you want to follow up on those, submit another question. Pick my brain further. That's fine with me. I don't mind doing that at all. And I'll be happy to study it further or look at other passages maybe that you have in mind that I did not address. All those things are open for further discussion. And I do appreciate the discussion. Well, this evening we want to offer the invitation of Jesus Christ, and he has offered us so graciously salvation through his holy name. If we will hear his word and believe it, repent of our sins, confess him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, we can enter into a relationship with him and be subjects of his new covenant through the authority that he has today, the authority of the one sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Father, as we talked about earlier. And in submitting ourselves to that new covenant, we can become children of God tonight. Maybe you need to take that action this evening, become a child of God. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church. If there's something on your heart and mind that you would like to talk about, many use this time to make that known as well. And whatever your need may be, you can come now and make it known while together we stand and while we sing.